So the easy trick to doubling or just growing your portfolio is changing who you're talking to. Now, I'm not saying that you should go out and tell your mom, hey, or your brother or sister, say, hey, I'm not talking to you anymore. I'm not saying do that. I'm just saying make 2 phone calls a day, right? Most people, if they're working a W-2, they get a lunch hour. This is not going to take you 30 minutes to do. You're going to call somebody, you're going to talk to them about those things that are where we're focused on growth.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Jay Helms is a financial freedom achiever, a real estate investor living a nomadic, slow travel lifestyle with his family and family of five. He's a founder of the W2 Capitalist, and he's an Amazon number one best-selling author. Jay, welcome to the show.
Sam, thank you, man. That was, man. I don't want to say this wrong. This is going to come out wrong, but you got a voice for radio. I got to be careful not to say. Somebody told me once you got a face for radio. I think is what it was. It's like
I probably got that too, man. You can hurt my feelings. It's all good.
It's awesome. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. The pleasure is mine, Jay. There are 3 questions, however, I ask every guest who comes on the show. In 90 seconds or less, can you tell me where did you start? Where are you now? And how did you get there?
Yeah. So where I started, like most people who I put in the sophomore level, we started with a single family buy and hold, just one bedroom, one bath rental property. My wife and I bought with a home equity line of credit. And we have scaled up from there. We've done almost anything and everything that does not involve wholesaling and flipping, although we've lived in a couple of live-in flips and burned a couple of properties. We've joint ventured, GPs, LPs. We're still in a lot of those deals together. That's kind of where we're going to stay, and that's in the small to medium-sized multifamily space. And we've transitioned into lending and hard money lending. And that's kind of where we're at today, even though we've got our portfolio kind of focused on, hopefully I see it as a graduation. So we're just, you know, we're lending to people and we're earning a lot higher interest rates. We're not getting to tap into the equity unless it's on a joint venture piece or a GP or LP deal. But with the lending piece, it's so much more passive than any of that other stuff. it's incredible. But how we got there, and we're going to talk about this, is really through partnerships. Right. And getting to know folks and really learning some lessons along the way about what a great partnership would look like. And you know, I hate that old saying that the only ship that doesn't sail is a partnership, because it's simply not true. Doesn't mean you're going to have some rough seas, possibly. But one of the things that I figured out along the way is not only with investing, do you have to have investing criteria and stick to those investing criteria, you also have to have partnership criteria, and you got to stick to those partnership criteria when an opportunity presents itself.
Man, that's great. That's absolutely great. There's a lot of questions I have probably about kind of that story that you told us, you know, from doing single family residence, live-in flips, you know, small to medium sized multifamily. I mean, there's a lot of management, I think, that goes into that. Maybe we'll get to that partnership side of things. One of the things that, you know, you and I talked about obviously before kicking off this show was really talking about a growth trends exercise, which you kind of defined as something that I think it's been instrumental in how you've gotten to where you are now. So before we cover those, you know, finer points in your story, maybe we can start there on that growth trends exercise and just tell our listeners what it is and how it applies to them and you.
Yeah. And so for clarity, let's give credit where credit's due. I did not create this. I stole this from Hal Elrod, who we, most of us probably know is the author of the Miracle Morning series. And so Hal does this thing where, and I heard it from a third party. It doesn't matter where I heard it from. I heard it from somebody else. It wasn't strictly from Hal, but basically you take out a piece of paper, right? It doesn't matter how big, just 8.5 by 11, and you draw 2 columns on it, right? The left-hand column, you're going to label as growth friends. And the right-hand column, you're going to label as maintenance relationships. And I do this exercise with almost everybody who comes to me and says, Jay, I'm having trouble growing. I don't know what's going on. I'm doing things like all the stuff that people on the podcast say to do. I'm doing those things. I'm not growing. But I bet you're not doing this. So here's the exercise is you get out your phone, right? You got your sheet of paper. You got growth friends and maintenance relationships. for this exercise, we're going to label, we're going to define what those two categories are, right? Growth friends are people who talk about investing in real estate, building wealth, having a better financial future for yourself and your family. How do you grow your net worth? You're talking about growth, right? In the things that are important to you, in this case, real estate investing. Everybody else, for the sake of this conversation, falls into a maintenance relationship category. Okay. I don't care if it's your mom, your dad, your brother, or sister, everybody else falls into that maintenance relationship category.
Sure.
Okay. Now, and I don't know where my phone is, but I was going to show it, like, grab your phone, right? Grab your phone. You scroll to your most recent phone calls, right? And you're going to go through the top 25, maybe 30 most recent phone calls. And you're going to put folks, based on those definitions we just talked about, in one of those two columns. Just write down their first name or their initials, basically. Once you've done that, now you're going to go to your text messages. Because if you're like me, most of your conversations or a lot of your conversations are happening over text. I was playing Halo with my son last night, and I'm getting a text from one of my partners. Hey, I found this 12 unit. And so my son and I were swapping the controller. We're taking turns in Halo. And while he's doing his turn, I'm sitting here trying to underwrite a property on my phone, you know, as we're doing it. And so, but you go through your text messages and you do the same thing, right? Go for maybe the top 25, 30 text messages. If it's about growing your real estate portfolio, if it's about building wealth, how to, you know, better secure your future, financial future for your family, then those folks or those messages that you're talking to are going to go in the growth friends column. Again, everybody else, maintenance relationships. Even if it's a funny meme that makes you laugh and it's entertainment, it's going to go into the maintenance relationships column. And here's what happens when I have this conversation with a lot of people when we go through this exercise. We get to the end of that exercise and they're complaining about, hey, I haven't grown. I don't know what to do. And I was like, look, don't even show me your piece of paper. I know what it looks like. You're really heavy on maintenance relationships, right? Like you may have a handful of growth friends. Everybody else is in maintenance relationships. They're like, yep. Yes, that's exactly it. So the easy trick to doubling or just growing your portfolio is changing who you're talking to. Now, I'm not saying that you should go out and tell your mom, hey, or your brother or sister, say, hey, I'm not talking to you anymore.
Right.
I'm not saying do that. I'm just saying make two phone calls a day, right? Most people, if they're working a W-2, they get a lunch hour. This is not going to take you 30 minutes to do. You're going to call somebody. You're going to talk to them about those things that are where we're focused on growth. At the end of that phone call, you're going to ask them, hey, who else do you know that likes to talk about this stuff, right? And you keep building it. And you're just making two phone calls every day.
Mm.
And you do that for 6 months. And then you do that growth maintenance exercise again. And it's going to be switched. It's going to flop. And your portfolio is going to look different. Your mindset is going to be a lot different. And it's amazing what that little exercise can do and that commitment to making those two phone calls a day. It's incredible.
I love that. That is brilliant. And it, of course, I'm sitting here thinking through it while you're talking about it. I'm like, man, yeah. I wonder. I mean, because and I'm thinking through maybe the last 20 phone calls in my phone, it's everybody from lenders to distributors to, I mean, the list just yeah. goes on, but none of those would be classified necessarily as growth.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. You're a supplier. Okay. It's still not a growth phone call. Yeah, it's work, but it's not. It's a maintenance relationship. That's convicting because you got to look back at that and you go, oh, like, man, I need to work more on my growth phone calls every day. So I love that. Yeah, how was this impactful? I'm going to ask a leading question here. You're going to be like, well, that's a stupid question, Sam. But like, how was this impactful for you? I mean, obviously, you know, like you're saying, this could have, you know, wild impacts for everyone else, but what did it do for you implementing this?
So the reason why I started as W2 Capitalist, right, is I fell into this category of I didn't grow up in a family of investors, didn't have friends who were investors or didn't work with a lot of people, didn't work with anybody who was investing in real estate. And we had bought a few, my wife and I, we had bought three properties, and we're like, all right, we're on to something. We're seeing, you know, income come in, and I'm using passive in air quotes, passively, even though we were self-managing. And like, we're on to something, but I just, we've kind of tapped out our resources, right? Like, if we want to grow past this, I've got to get comfortable with partnering with folks. And how do I do that? So I started reaching out to folks, and I started, you know, changing the conversation. And come to find out, there was a lot of people just like me who fell in the same boat, right? They didn't have friends or family who were interested in investing. Matter of fact, they looked at them like they were crazy, you know, like, you know, and it was like, hey, let's start having these phone calls frequently. Like, I want to talk to you, Jay. And I was like, I want to talk to you because I'm getting excited just having this conversation. And so that just kind of kept steamrolling into what we now know as the W2 Capitalist community. And, you know, you're talking about, I get challenged on this sometimes when I ask people to go through this exercise. I'm like, all right, let's go through your phone, Mr. You know, Mr. Hotshot, you know, like, I was like, all right, let's go through my phone. I have no problem. And I'll go through it. And it's like mastermind member, community member, banker, you know, and it's all these things. And I can go through almost every one of the conversations is about growth and about how we can grow our portfolio. Matter of fact, so we're recording this at 1:30. I got up around 6:30 this morning, had about an hour to myself, had about 30 minutes lunch, and we homeschool our kids, everybody's home. And so I've had about 30 minutes of interacting with them as I go to the bathroom or whatever, take a water break or whatever. And so there's a couple of hours where, was that about 3 hours or so since I got up?
Roughly.
And the rest of the time, it's been on the phone with partners. It's been on with other investors who are looking to grow, and just constantly. And I get more out of, and a lot of them don't understand this, but I get more out of folks when they call and complain and say, hey, I'm having trouble growing, you know, and we kind of walk through it. I get more out of those conversations. They probably do, and they don't understand that, but it's just regurgitating and reciprocating what we've learned in the past. And it also serves as a reminder, because I started this process a long time ago and I drifted from it, right? Life got busy. I still had a W-2, and we kind of got stuck in this spot where we're like, I'm not really growing.
Right.
And it took a mastermind member who came in. He was, and he was getting really excited, had a lot of momentum. I was like, what are you doing to get this momentum? What are you doing? He goes, man, I'm making 2 phone calls every day at lunch. He goes, it's something you taught me a couple of years ago. I was like, oh yeah, I did. Okay. So I drifted from it, right? And we all do that from time to time. And it was a good reminder that it really comes down to who you're talking to and who you're spending your time with. Now, I don't mean that, you know, you don't kick the family to the curb, but you just change your conversations that you're having.
Yep. No, I love it. That's fantastic. Fantastic insight. And it's easily implemented, but difficult to do. Is that the right way to say that?
Well, yeah, you're correct. It's the discipline to do it. And even today, like I know, like I have time blocks on my calendars to make sure I connect with a certain amount of people a day. There are days when that reminder goes off. Hey, you got to make 2-3 phone calls. I'm like, I'm just not feeling it. I'm not feeling it. And some days I'll skip it. And then some days I'm reminded of this line from, I can picture his face, extreme ownership guy, Jocko Willink, is that he's asked, you know, on days where you don't feel like going to work out, what do you do? And he goes, well, I go anyway, right? Because at least I'm going to go through the motions, you know? And so I am not perfect in making my phone calls and doing my reach outs. But I am consistent enough where it's producing an incredible result, right? Yep. Incredible enough for me to come on here with such passion and energy to make sure your audience is doing the same thing, because it really is the key to growing. Otherwise, you know, rewind back to where we just had those 3 properties and we were buying about 1 property every year, maybe. And there's no way we could have grown the way we have. Because basically what we're doing is we're taking the earnings from those properties, putting them into an account, taking some savings from my W-2, combining all that up till we had enough for another down payment, going to buy another one. So it took us about a year, right, to do it. And, there's just no way we would have been able to get to where we are doing that.
Tell me about your business. Like, what does your business look like today?
Yeah, so that's an open-ended question, right? So which business? W2 Capitalist, the real estate, our portfolio, like which one?
Whichever one you want to talk about or both.
Yeah, so our portfolio, we've got a mix. We've got a little mix of, we've got my wife and I, we've got a fourplex ourselves, we've got a short-term rental ourselves, and then the rest of the stuff we're in is through partnerships, either through joint ventures or limited partners. We're not a general partner on anything right now. So joint ventures, limited partners, and then we also do some hard money lending on the side. And so all kind of real estate focused, and then the W2 Capitalist is what feeds a lot of that. So a lot of our partnerships came from the W2 Capitalist, because back to that investing or partnership criteria, is one of the things that I do is I've got to know you. I got to know you, not for just six, you know, I use a rule of 6 months, and I can't remember if I read that in a book somewhere, or if it's like the SEC guideline for raising money or taking money from somebody to invest in one of your deals. I shouldn't say taken, but having a partner invest with you in your deal. But I use that rule for, you know, 6 months. I got to get to know somebody. And it's one of those things where it's not like, you know, Sam, you and I are going to have a phone call today. 6 months from today, we have another phone call and I check that box. That's not what I'm talking about, right? You got to get to really know somebody. And this helps me filter out a lot of folks from tire kickers, essentially. Because like you, probably your social media probably gets inundated with, hey, Sam, I got this deal. I want to partner with you on it, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, and I was like, hey, look, I'll take a look with you. But you need to know, I have this rule. I got to get to know you before I'm going to partner with you. And 9 times out of 10, here's how the conversation goes. It's like, absolutely, I respect that. I would love your feedback on this. And I was like, great, let's schedule a call. Just want to reconfirm, you know, I'm not looking to partner, but I'll take a look at this and poke holes in what you may be thinking, like you asked me to. And 9 times out of 10, that's the end of the conversation. There's no follow-up from them. They tell me they're okay with that guideline that I've given them, and they don't do it. The ones that do, we've had a really solid run, right? They ultimately end up joining the W2 Capitalist community because they know there are other investors in there like me, and there's just been so much wealth and so many partnerships have been developed through that. It's just incredible. So it's kind of this whole circle. It's where the earn, invest, repeat tagline comes from, right?
Right, right. No, that makes sense. So if I get the picture correctly, you're the proceeds from what you guys do in the W2 Capitalist, you then feed that back into your current real estate business. How did you start? Tell me about the W2 Capitalist community, how you started it. Like, how did you get that off the ground? Because that's kind of, I mean, it seems like a massive undertaking.
And it is. And, you know, we have 3 kids who are 9, 6, and 4. And so when we launched that, it was just a little over 5 years ago. You know, so they were 3 and I can't even do the math. Three, one, and not maybe not even on the way yet.
Oh, this isn't last. How many years ago did you say that was?
5 years ago.
Got it. Okay.
So yeah, 4, 4, 1, and not on the way yet. And we started with one. It was me and a couple of guys. We started. It was one phone call a week. We did it over Zoom, and I think we originally connected on some Facebook group, matter of fact. And so it really just started from there. And it was just, hey, let's get together. Let's talk. There's no agenda. I kind of found myself in the space. I know what we were pregnant with number 3, and my wife had some complications along the way with each of them. And so we had a local RIA. I don't like going to in-person meetings. I'm growing it. Being an entrepreneur has pushed me out of my introverted personality. It's pushing me out of that. But, you know, 5 years ago, I didn't want to be in a room full of people I didn't know. Right. And so the good thing is I'd been working from home for about a decade prior to that. Mm. Right. So I was extremely comfortable. I was Zooming before Zooming was cool. And I know that ages me, but I'm okay with that. But it was, it's one of those things where I was like, all right, I had joined a virtual mastermind. It wasn't dealing with investing. It was more of a how to become a better father and how to be, a better husband kind of thing. And because I was new at it, new husband, new father. I was like, we got another one on the way. What do I got to do to do this right? Had a lot of perfectionism in me at that point in time. And so I joined this group and they were already doing it. And a lot of what I did, I just mimicked off of what they were doing and just kind of created my own. So, but it was a massive undertaking. It started with one phone call a week. It was on Tuesday nights. It went for about an hour, hour and a half, sometimes. And now we're up to over 20 calls a month, that sometimes go to 3 hours, with, I think we've got 60 members at the moment, and it's incredible. We focus a lot on the various niches. Most of it is buy and hold, and that's yeah. It has it's taken. It didn't happen overnight.
Right. No, I can't imagine that that it did. And I think, what you've done, it sounds very organic though, in its own right. Like it kind of just, I mean, it didn't sound like you set out to build it this way.
It didn't. And one of the things, the hard, when I mentioned hard money lending, that came out of listening to members in the community. So, 2 years ago, I kept hearing, we had members in our community. They didn't know how to navigate hard money. They didn't have connections to private money. And quite frankly, I didn't either. I've never used either one of them. But I just kept hearing folks like, man, I got this really good deal. I was like, all right, let's underwrite. Let's see how good this deal is. And we'd underwrite together. I was like, holy shit, that's a good deal,
Right.
And so, and so many deals would fall through because they couldn't find short-term financing for them. And so after about a year of hearing that, well, I'd say after about 6 months of hearing that, I set out to, okay, let's bring a hard money solution to the community. And about 6 months later, launched it with a few guys who were among the original founders of, in the community. So I've gotten to know these guys, by this time, 4 years. And we just passed. We incorporated in June of 22. Did our first loan in September of 22, and this past September, at our year anniversary mark, we had passed 4 million in loan originations for fix and flippers. So
Wow.
it's just a constant kind of, all right, listening to those folks. What do you need? All right, let's go out and find it, or let's figure it out right now, what we can do for that. So it has grown a lot organically. I've spent a lot of money on ads, and it just never works. And so I've completely abandon that for now.
Right.
So.
Right. It's funny you say that. I've got a Yeah, but back when we were doing single family and doing a lot of fix and flip, there was a guy here in Memphis that I borrowed, quite a bit of money from. He'd always tell me, he's like, "Don't tell anybody that I do hard money lending." That was kind of his thing. He's like, "I loan to you and about five other people, and otherwise keep it quiet." I'm like, "All right, I'll do that." So, it kind of, but at the same token, I think, when you're in the hard money lending space, like, you really have to know who you're working with. And which is funny because I went back to him here recently for something that we had, like you said, very short term, like 90 day deals. And it was like, I need money that's really short term. The price is kind of irrelevant. So I went back to him and he said, "Hey man, let's look at this." He's like, "Yeah, absolutely." So it's helpful. I mean, incredibly helpful when you have opportunities like that you just can't pass up. Like, there's quick turns on stuff that has huge upside. You might as well take advantage of it. So that's really cool. Jay, we're about out of time here, but I do have one, as you've done all these different things, as you've done the variety of real estate investments, as you've grown your W-2 capitalist, what are some things maybe over your real estate investing career or otherwise, if you wish to share on that front, that maybe you would do differently, that was, some things you said, man, this was either a misstep or something I had to learn the lesson the hard way?
So, while we're called the W-2 capitalist, it was because I had a W-2, right? And I was whatever wages we were living off that, and then taking part of our savings and whatnot, investing. I would encourage And I got laid off during COVID, right? I was running the sales team, and we got I got laid off. And at that moment, it was the most fearful but best kick in the pants I ever received. And I envy people who can make that decision on their own, right? And it takes, you know, it took my wife. Like, I got the call from my boss, and you know, I'm sweating bullets over here. I got cold sweat, and I finally collect myself. I go to my wife, because that time we had a 5'3" and a 1-year-old, right? And I'm like, all right. And so I go to her and I tell her, hey, here's a phone call I just got. Here's what's going on. And she says, great. Now we can go travel like we've been wanting to do. And I'm like, time out. Like, I got to absorb, you know, this six-figure income that just evaporated. Like, we gotta figure out what we're doing here. And so it took her, like, really planting that in me and saying it, and you know, it took me about a year to warm up the idea and to realize, okay, we're going to be okay financially. Like, I, you know, I'm getting outside of my comfort zone, doing, you know, traveling, getting out of being a homebody. It's really, you know, and I say all that to say it took her and her she's so solid in the way she views things and whatnot. And I'm extremely lucky to have her. And that, you know, I look at her as my best and most valuable partner. One of the things that frustrates me about her though, is I'll be grinding on an issue for like weeks, and I'll go to her and I explain it to her. And like instantly she gives me the most brilliant answer. I'm learning, like, that time period to go to her is shortening, but I have trouble asking for help. Like, I guess most men, but you know, the thing that I would say is, whoever's listening to this, is your partnership is not only with your spouse, but with, you know, potential real estate partners, has to be solid, right? It has to be solid. There's no need to rush into a deal. Don't get hyped up or get caught up in the hype of how amazing a return is going to be. And there's a lot of people right now that I talk to who, when they sit down and they absorb kind of how they got in the situation they're at, they're like, I rushed into it. I didn't really know this person a lot. And I'm not just talking about marriage, but I'm talking about investing as well. And so, I would, you know, focus on creating that partnership criteria. And here's just to kind of give you some guidelines on what mine looks like is you've had to do at least one deal before of some, you know, a certain size. I've got to know you for 6 months. And kind of the kicker amongst all that is you can't be divorced more than twice. I believe that everybody has, you know, the right to make a mistake and to correct that mistake or whatnot. But if you're on your third spouse, right, there's one of two things that are happening. Number one, either A, you don't know how to treat people, or B, you don't know how to make important decisions.
Yeah.
And there's plenty of other people I can partner with. And I know those are my criteria, and I know that it's probably going to make a couple of people mad, but I want to provide that as a guideline, you know, as you're sitting down thinking about your partnership criteria and what that should look for. You know, it could be very, very similar or something along those lines.
I love it, man. And that's hard truth right there that you're sharing. And yeah. So, you know, if you're listening to this and you just got upset by that statement, you know what? It's reality. And sometimes, you know, hard truths they just are what they are. They got to speak for themselves. I had a friend of the family growing up, and this is it, he always told me, he said, Sam, if you want to really know somebody, he said, look at the way they treat these three things. He said, look at how they treat food, look at how they treat sex, and look at how they treat money. And he goes, and once you have a clear picture on those three things, you pretty much know the man.
That's like, good.
That's really, I like it. Interesting. Food, sex, and money. Just look at those three. And I'm like, all right.
Which is almost all of Maslow's hierarchy of needs, or at least the baseline, right?
Right.
That. So that's interesting.
So it was an equally as, like, you know, a statement you had to think about for a minute. Like, okay, Morton divorced. Yeah, well, I guess that makes sense, because –
yeah.
Anyway, on all that front, that's a good time, Jay. I've really enjoyed you coming on the show today. Certainly appreciate your insights and what you shared with us today. If our listeners want to get in touch with you and learn more about you, what is the best way to do that?
So the best way to do it, I offer my cell phone. Now, this is my phone number. And so if anybody, because very few people take me up on it. And the ones who do, I think enjoy it or whatnot. But just text me. Don't call me because I have my phone set up that if you're not stored in my contacts, you're going to go directly to voicemail and it's probably full.
Right.
So just text me and it's 205-249-0248.
Perfect. We will include that there in the show notes. Jay, thank you again for coming on the show today. I certainly appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Sam. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen, if you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much and hope to catch you on the next episode.